Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. Jerry, Terry, and Max joining you today. A lot of emotions, I would say. This was one of those shows that's not necessarily the easiest to get pumped up to do. I think we've been talking off camera for a little bit. I think all three of us were kind of like, really? Are we going to do this? You know, and I mean, if you're listening to this, watching this, you're an Everton supporter, or you're here to mock, which, you know, but the mockery is welcome too. I just want to throw that out there. The Liverpool supporters who have supported our channel have been wonderful. They've come in, they've given us views, and they've written nasty comments, and we've just deleted them, but the views stay. So we've gotten so many extra views on our channel. So I just want to say thanks to all you Red Shite supporters. You've been behind us, and we appreciate it. They're just sweet. They're just the sweetest folks, you know? So, to support an Everton channel like that, it's just so, that's just cool of them. So yeah, Derby happened. We'll get into a Derby preview in a little bit. We're going to quickly do a little intro. Everybody knew that I watched the game at a local bar, local pub, whatever you want to call it. It's more of a bar here. Pub, I feel like, needs like wooden walls or something, or any wood. And there was like very little in the place I was. It was very industrial feel, but it was actually really cool. It's like they took an old gas station and they turned it into a bar. And naturally, all the Liverpool supporters went to one TV and the Everton supporters went to another. And it was not planned. It just happened like that. To be honest with you, though, it was actually really fun. It was actually a really fun, the Liverpool supporters that I know that were there, they knew what happened in the game and they were honest about it, which was cool. All right. Worst part is having to hear that song. You know what I mean? I could go the rest of my life and be okay not hearing that song again. All right. That happened. That sucked. But you know what? Actually watching around other people with that energy, that was cool. I can't even imagine being what the game was like, actually being there when you're elbow to elbow with people. So I actually had a good experience. I was, you know, I didn't know what to think. Max, you had something lamentable, though, you wanted to talk about. So what do you got?
Well, I was covering Accrington Stanley in the FA Cup on the Saturday, which was good, I suppose. They ended up winning 3-1 into the next round. So obviously I was back in Liverpool with my family. Obviously dreaded Derby Day. Got a WhatsApp off Toffee Blues Dave saying, "Where are you, Liverpool or Manchester?" And I assume that was, you know, if you're in Manchester, come and watch it with us. And it was a few hours before the game, so I was thinking I might get away with making my way down there. But I thought, you know, the whole Derby Day production thing on Sky with the Chelsea Fulham and the North London Derby as well, I thought, you know what, I'll stay here, I'll watch it, and I'll ask my mate if he wants to go to the pub. I was seeing who was wanting to go out, and it was meant to be two of us. One's a Liverpool fan, but one's a Bolton fan, and it's all right. And he's quite a... I mean, no one likes Liverpool, really, do they? So it's all right. But he dropped out last minute saying he didn't want to go. So I ended up having to go with my mate, who's a Liverpool fan. And so we went to the pub not far from mine, and I don't know if you know, Jerry, but the Santa Dash was on in Liverpool, where like people get dressed up as Father Christmas and do a 5K. And so we go in, and there's like a mix of red and blue Santa Dashes, and I don't know, it's just a bit of a roller coaster in it, because we played well. We did play well. It wasn't as if we played badly, but just Liverpool in it. They always do that. Horrible, absolutely horrible. You think you're getting away with it, and you just don't. Killed me off, to be honest.
Yeah, I did our 5K on Saturday, and I did not wear Father Christmas gear. I just wore my Everton gear and had a better time than expected. But I swear, man, almost killed me. Almost put me in the. I started too quickly, and dude, the second mile, it's like, uphill, and I was huff-puffing. I had kids passing me, and it was so... You're not supposed to think, oh, this is degrading. That's a 13-year-old kid passing me. But you can't help it. It's hard. But honestly, I finished, and my time was a minute better than I was expecting. I felt really good. So, yeah, but I can't imagine doing it wearing, like... You know, long sleeve with white trim and a hat. I can't even, a fake beard. Mm. That's...
Well, the thing was, the mate that I ended up going with, you know, he's not a bad red in that sense. You know, he's quite a decent down-to-earth one. And we both did that FA level one together. So we kind of have our coaches' caps on when we're watching the game. So where can everyone stood up in this pub? And it was decent because it was like a 50-50 split, half red, half blues. Banter going back and forth. But we were kind of just giving like a running coach's analysis on the game and kind of conversation with each other. And, you know, from that perspective, it sickens you so much when you kind of look back and see how we lost that game. It was quite possibly the worst possible game to lose a game of football ever. Like, if that ball would have went out of play, the game's over. Mm-hmm. Like, that ball there went out of play. Finished.
Yeah. So, listeners might notice that Terry hasn't spoken. I noticed. You've probably noticed this. He's sitting there. He's got this. He's been listening to us the whole time. He's either grinning knowingly or having this grim look on his face like, I'm ready to get out from in front of my camera now. Terry, are you okay, man?
Yeah, the second one. I won't lie, I've had a good long think today about trying to get out of this show just because I was not in the mood. But I can't do that. That's you've got to just take it, haven't you? If we've been here before, it's nothing new to us, but it doesn't ever get any easier. That one was probably the worst I've taken any match defeat for a long time, for years even, just because of it. I mean, Liverpool are hard enough to beat anyway, but if you've got to beat them, then you've got to beat fate and the football and gods, because that's the only way that happens. It's just, how does that happen? You just, I almost laughed when it happens, like, oh, well, of course. Like, I almost thought we were going to get out of there without something crazy happening, but no, right at the last second. Obviously, we got a little bit numb to losing derbies at this point, so, you know, the footballing gods thought, how can we spice this up on them? How can we really catch them, because they're becoming a bit jaded? Yeah, that'll do it.
So I've got a take on this that I feel like is kind of unique, but I want to wait for the actual match reaction to get there. I'm secretly happy I didn't watch this with my kids, because I don't want to have to. I didn't want to have to explain it right after it happened. You know what I mean?
I genuinely don't think I've seen that goal back. Like, I think I might have watched it on the replay like once, but other than that, I don't want to watch it back.
I have, because it's really hard to understand. I want to be able to talk about it, and honestly, from like two different angles, it looks like the ball hits the net.
Yeah, did they hit the bar on the way up? Like, because I remember reading a little quote from Jordan Pickford, and he said that it hit the bar twice.
Yeah, it did. I mean, he kind of hits it, it bounces, and then it like bounces again, and it falls right.
Why didn't he just palm it over?
It just fractionally...
Well, he tried to. He tried to palm it over.
Well,
he did.
It fractionally touches the bar. He thinks, from the look of it, he thinks he's going to catch it just into his hands. But it's just a fraction too far behind him. So it clips the bar. And between his hands and the bar, it bounces up again and back out. And then you know what happens next, obviously. Mm. But it's just a one in a million freak occurrence. And obviously, it has to happen in a derby in the last second. It's just
Everton, that.
It's not even no. You don't like Everton, that, and this isn't Everton, that. That's Liverpool, that. I'm sorry. We get bad luck a lot, but that is ridiculous levels. Look, they're more honest supporters. You know, obviously they're all going to be, you know, really happy that it happened, and you know, whatever, fair play to them, because I would have been made up if it had been the other way around. But if you're honest with yourself, they know they got away with it there. They got away with me.
Yeah.
They were so close to drawing that match and couldn't have really had any complaints. But then some absolute fluke happens and just bounces off the crossbar and lands on their player's head. It's just Liverpool, isn't it? Just, it's happened to them for years. They'll say it, they don't get any luck, but what you call that?
Yeah. Luck is actually what I want to talk about when we get to the match reaction. That's something I want to have a conversation about, luck. All right? So, yeah. That's a thing. It's interesting because it's the way I saw it, and I saw it that Pickford was trying to push it over, and his hand hit the bar, and that's why it just kind of, he didn't get that full motion to extend and go up and out. He just kind of hit it there, and it hit his fingertips, and that's what kept it from actually going fully out of bounds. It was bizarre, just a really bizarre thing to happen, and you don't see it often, ever. So. Anyway, we will go more into detail because there was a lot of football that wasn't that play. So, very quick synopsis, very quick summary, table of contents, if you will, for podcast listeners right now. We're going to start with a reaction to that, which happened yesterday. Then we'll go into a match preview, because you know what? There's a game on Wednesday, and I'm glad. Let's get this out of our system. Let's go. You know what I mean? Let's go. Let's plow forward. All right. So we've got Newcastle, because I don't want to sound American or anything. No, Newcastle on Wednesday, and then a starting 11 segment, and really that's it. Besides, if you know your history. All right, when we've got these games wedged together, we've got pretty important segments all back to back to back. So we'll finish with If You Know Your History, going to be talking about a Newcastle match from the past and who played. So we'll have to, and if you don't know what If You Know Your History is, it's the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry against Max in a cage match of Everton wit and might. So, gentlemen, match reaction. We've already given some initial stuff here to start off with. Did either one of you want to lead off with some initial thoughts, or do you want me to head this up? Because I know a lot of times we have some stuff we want to spout off, but after yesterday, it's just such a weird vibe. I wanted to give you the option of starting, or if you want me to start, I can.
Oh, I think you should start, because I could happily do that. Pissed off girlfriend, one word answer thing. I would love to do that. Yep. Nope. Okay. And then done.
I'm pretty concerned about starting off by myself, because I feel like you guys are actually taking this one harder than myself. And the fact that I also know life is harder for you after a Derby loss than it is for me, because of your living environment, because of where you are. And I think any American who thinks they have it just as bad, they're wrong.
Well, do you know what, right? Just to get the ball rolling, and like, so I can just say a few words to get it out of my system. I darted back to Manchester as soon as I possibly could. So like, I got the train from by my mum's to Liverpool Central, and then went from Lime Street to Manchester. And of course, on that train from Lime Street to Manchester, it's full of Reds, isn't it? But the one thing that did make it better, there was a little chihuahua, right? It got on at one stop. It was just like a little beige chihuahua. It didn't have a collar on. And I just started walking in between the aisles of all the seats, letting everyone stroke it. Like, I was like, oh, you want to, like, if something could possibly cheer me up, there you go. So,
yeah.
To whoever's that dog was, thank you. You made me day a little bit better.
See, my cheering up thing was actually a little bit different. It was Mark Hughes being sacked. So
I was good with that too.
It pulled me out of a bit of a hole. So if I started, I was like, today I was like, yeah, the universe is trying to apologize to me.
See, my little cheering up thing was nothing like that. I was actually still at the bar, and I saw there was like one Liverpool supporter in front of me who was actually a friend of mine, and someone had slapped a nice Everton sticker on his back, and he didn't know it. And he was just sitting there messing with his phone, and everybody's like getting behind him, taking pictures and stuff. And I was just like, you know what? I'll take an extra spoonful, an extra scoop of that bitterness. I'm totally fine with that. You know what I mean? Petty, don't care. Right now, yes, I'm fine with it. So yeah. So I think the most common thing you're going to hear is Everton that Liverpool are really lucky, Everton are really unlucky. And I started kind of thinking about luck. And my dad always used to say, the more the practice, the luckier you get. Okay? Now, that is my dad's way of saying luck is not really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I tried to think about what luck actually is, like in empirical terms. What is luck? Luck is the ball bouncing your way. You know? Luck is injuries not happening. You know, luck is your player slipping when you don't want them to slip. And so those are things that, you know, seemingly the universe kind of has lords over, you know. However, I think look at the Reds and the fact that they've had the same manager for how many years. Is it four?
Yeah, if you know.
4 years? And look at how much money they've had. Okay?
Mm.
They have had money. They bought a lot of players.
I don't want it to turn into...
I'm not pinning it all on it. I'm getting to a point. I swear to God, Max. So look at that particular scenario. They have been sitting there training in their system and being able to bring in the players they want to match that system for a while now. Okay? They have been practicing. Okay, right now they are putting themselves in positions to be luckier than we are, more frequently than we are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that is them. They have had more practice as a squad with a competent manager.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we've had 4 months. All right, yeah. So really, I think right now Liverpool are better at being lucky than we are.
No, of course.
All right,
of course.
They are. Because you know what? They've had the same system, the same manager. They've been so, yeah. If I'm gonna guess one of us to be luckier because of being put in the position to be lucky, I'm gonna say it's them every time. You know, I can't blame the refs this time. Mm. That's the thing. I don't have a lot of like ref rage over this one. I didn't think he messed up very often. You know, it was not a bad job. It was a draw. The Liverpool supporters that I spoke with after the game, they felt ridiculously lucky. They used the word lucky, okay? They were fortunate to get 3 points. They were, you know? And that's kind of where we're at right now. Our luck is going to get better. We are going to have this unit. We're going to be put in positions to do better. We're going to have more opportunities to be luckier, all right? Because luck is just... being in position, you're making your own luck. And that's the way I'm choosing to see this. We're going to work our asses off. We will be luckier. It's going to happen. This manager won't let it continue like this. All right? Marcel Brands won't let it continue like this. I'm telling you, maybe I'm just, blue glasses. All right? You know, blue tinted glasses. I'm actually taking, that's their best team in years.
Yeah, definitely. And if you factor in that stack got blurted out, didn't it? As soon as that goal went in, there's no other team that Liverpool have scored more injury time mm-hmm. winners against. And mm-hmm. you know that's not luck, as you say. It becomes habitual. But at the same time, it must be said, you know, they're no strangers to losing big games. To win 10.
But they're playing those big games against teams that have actually had the time to, I mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, they're not all that. You look at the food chain of football clubs, I mean, they're obviously above us because arguably they've had that duration of time to build that system, build that reputation with Jurgen Klopp, but by no means are they Barcelona, Real Madrid, Juventus. They're nowhere near, well, they're not of that ilk yet. I mean, But as you say, I think we're probably below them in that food chain, But what is it? You know, the couple of months that we've had, add to that, say how many years they've had, and you know, we'll see where we are on that journey then. But it's still a sickener.
You want to throw up, you're right.
Yeah, I was looking back on it, and I kind of used it as a reference point. But those last 2 years under David Moyes, where we finished above them, I was trying to think, did they beat us in them seasons? Because it's not always, you know, the case that it will make our season implode once we're beat by them. You know, I still think we've got a good enough side and we play good enough football to get a respectable league finish. Like, we're still sixth at the minute, and if you would have told me at the start of the season, you know, would you take sixth? Of course I would have.
Oh, yeah, losing to Liverpool doesn't really affect our season, and it's a good job as well because we lose to them a lot. But, no, it's... I don't necessarily agree with that. I do to the spirit of the point about how they've spent a lot of money, consistently spent well rather than, I'd say, they've spent well rather than spent lots. They've spent a lot, but so have we at this point. I know it's relative and we, you know, they've still outspent us, but for me, no matter how good your manager is, no matter how much money you spend, no matter how much time you get to train your system, that doesn't have any bearing on a goal like that. For me, it just, like, the goal like that is just, I don't, the world.
Well, do you believe that it's the universe coming down and angels or demons, you know, manipulate it? You know what I mean? See, that's the thing. Like, I'm trying to figure out a way to make it empirical, you know?
Look at who scored, though. Look at who scored. Like, when he come on, the first thing, my mate who's a red, even he said when he was bringing Origi on him, well, why is he bringing him on? I went, because he scores against Everton. He just does. Like, I don't want to raise my voice on this, but because I'm used to it. Like, we've been here before. I mean, bloody hell. I went to Anfield twice last season. The draw, you know, that was a lucky one. The FA Cup one was a bit of a sickener, probably, but I don't know. Even like that one, like the last night, feels worse than when Van Dijk scored on his debut.
That's because
we played better, right?
We played better this time. Yeah, we didn't deserve to lose. No. Last season, if we'd have got a draw or something in that FA Cup game, it would have been, oh, we've done another job on them. But they were clearly the better team, whereas it hurt so much more yesterday because they weren't better than us. It was a very even game, chances, everything. There was spells where we were dominating the ball and there were spells where they were dominating the ball. But take nothing away from Liverpool historically over the years. They've been a very good team. They've only ever been a poor team very briefly and it didn't stick. But we just haven't got the luck they've got. Like we could, I'd love it if you could. There's a way to get it. I want it because they have historically. Now I'm not chalking up all of their success to luck. Of course I'm not because you know they've had good teams as well and they've got probably their best team. I've seen them have now, but God, things like that happen for them and I don't remember them ever happening for us. Like we don't win games with goals like that, we never have, and they've done it a couple of times since I've been watching football. In the context of just Everton and Liverpool, we haven't got that little extra, we just haven't, and we're going to have to just work on, we're going to have to improve until we get to the point where the luck doesn't count as much.
That's what I mean.
That's
right there, and I totally believe in that. And that's, you know, in the past, I think after United match, we were saying, you know what, we just have to plan on these on the referee things happening. Okay, last night it actually didn't, which was phenomenal. Okay, because they had a couple of opportunities to get soft penalties. Mm-hmm. They did, you know, but the idea of just working so hard and training so hard in practice to make sure that these little luck things, because we should have been more clinical in our goals.
Yeah,
we had, you know, Yerry Mina could have been dancing.
We should have been 2-0 up in that first half. We should have.
They had opportunities too.
Yeah,
but...
The Yerry Mina bullet headed in front of the cop should have happened.
Yeah,
and that Andre Gomez one, I tried to criticize him for that. You know, straight at the keeper, but I probably wouldn't have been able to do better myself, so I don't know what I'm saying. But No, it was a sick number. I felt like we played them a lot like the way we played Chelsea away. You know, the way we kind of like pressed.
It was the same, similar tactics, yeah, first half, definitely.
Like, you know, the halfway press, try and contain them. And it frustrated me a bit at times because, you know, particularly when you were watching the likes of Walcott and Sigurdsson and the forward players, and you know, when you think press higher up, win that ball, and you've got a good opportunity to bear down on goal. But it's their place, isn't it?
So that's something I was going to ask. I was going to ask about, tactically speaking, would you change something?
Start Luckman. That was screaming for Luckman to come on at like half time. I don't think Walcott just wasn't good enough at all. I mean,
didn't
I like
as well when he came on. He came on and he didn't really look for him as much as they should have. He didn't get on the ball, and when he did, he made some decent drives forward on the ball. That's the thing that Walcott doesn't do. Walcott likes to drive behind into the space without the ball and latch on, whereas Luckman gets the ball beforehand and then drives. He moves, especially when he moves into the centre, and he just runs directly at the centre backs. They panic and run back. That's the change I'd make. I'd say in the next game I'd bring Luckman in.
I think it's possible he might start Luckman just because, I mean, even due to the fact that Walcott took a knock, you know,
he got to after that.
One of the things I want to make sure I'm looking for when Luckman comes on, it's something that I couldn't really watch in the bar, is I wanted to watch the difference between their defensive work, because I feel like that's why Walcott's getting the nod, is because his defensive work is, he works so much harder when the opposition have the ball. I did see Luckman scramble back several times.
Yeah, I don't think, like, obviously the way we played, obviously with that halfway press, I felt it made Walcott look a lot more awkward in terms of where he was in relation to Coleman. Because sometimes I felt like he was like, you know, they were stepping on each other's toes at times, which is really frustrating, because when you think, you know, if you want to hit them on the break, your winger needs to be there, eager and running to, you know, latch on, like Teddy said, which Walcott is exceptional at. And, you know, it disappoints you that you don't see that. But I don't know. I think what Luckman's got to be the way forward now.
Like, while we're talking tactics, there was a couple of things I thought were strange. Like, I don't want to get too negative, but it was heart attack stuff. Some of that five-a-side we were playing across our back four. In one of the best pressing teams in the country. The two best pressing teams in the country are Liverpool and Man City, and we're like pinging it between Mina and Dean, and we got away with it. It didn't cost us that tactic, but I've never seen us do that before, and we just suddenly start doing it, the worst possible place to do it. Andrissa Gay, I've just got to say, he was had one of his poorer games this season. He every time he got the ball, he felt like he was losing it and putting us under pressure. It just seemed like he was having a terrible game.
There's an account on Twitter, I think it's Toffee Analysis, who said that they felt that every time Ghana got the ball, that was one of Liverpool's pressing triggers, and they specifically targeted him, which would explain. Yeah, somebody who's a little bit. I mean, he's definitely not as poised with the ball as Gomez. Doesn't have as close control.
It's worth saying just how poised Gomez was on the ball, because he was absolutely fantastic. He was our best player by a mile.
I'd say almost every time I'm sitting there out loud going, "Would you look at that class guy?
Yeah, what a footballer!
Would you just look at that guy?
What a ball!
I was like, he is beautiful.
Just give them whatever they want, 50 million, 60 million. Just go, yeah, go on, all the best.
Yeah.
Keep that receipt. Don't worry about it.
he was excellent, isn't he?
Yeah, he was fun. He was great to watch. Dean, Luca Dean had a good game too. Bernard, it was weird because there's a couple of clutch moments where he kind of, you know, he literally stumbled or slipped. But at the same time, how good is his touch?
I know.
I saw him bring a ball down around midfield that he had no business controlling the way he did. It was weird,
like in complete contrast to the Cardiff game. Like, after the Cardiff game, I was criticising the wide players, saying how, you know, I didn't particularly like how Walcott performed, but I wasn't as fond as Bernard after the Cardiff game. But I thought Bernard played really well, and I feel like I was more critical of Sigurdsson and Gay, who I didn't slate after the Cardiff game. Like, it disappoints you because just think if we would have turned up completely, you know, and we had that clinical edge, like there were a few chances that Richarlison, you know, if Richarlison was a few years older and had a bit more experience playing in that central role, he probably would have knew how to deal with better. But credit to him as well, I felt he, you know, he dealt with his first derby exceptionally well. You know, he put his weight about and he wasn't scared to back down from anyone, which you should be in those games. But I'm still upset about it, to be honest. It is gutting. Because where really you take a step back, when I was watching the North London derby, you know, what are we, 22 points? And you were thinking if you know, we could have made ground on one of those.
Yeah.
And we didn't.
By the way.
Yeah, that was a brilliant, that was absolutely fantastic.
It was
game.
A good game. Yeah. I'm just going to say, apart from maybe some substitution stuff, I actually would not have changed a lot tactically from Silva. Just because when I look at actually what happened,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, we weren't clinical in front of goal. There's not a whole lot that Silva can do about that during the game. That's a prep thing, you know. That's mentality thing. And to be honest with you, we lost because of a freak occurrence, you know. They were lucky. They were fortunate, okay? That's how we lost. We did not lose because their tactics were, I actually thought their tactics near the end there was grasping at straws, going outside of what Liverpool normally does to win games. It came across to me as a little desperate. Okay. The idea of them, you know, I would not have expected them to take Salah out.
He was shite, let's be honest.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I wouldn't have expected it though, but I actually thought we did pretty well against him. I thought we did a good job on him.
Yeah,
we did. I didn't think we were as good against Mane.
With the exception of playing out from the back, which Teddy mentioned, which was a bit heart attack football at times, and you know, there were moments where I forget who he was on the heels of, but there was a moment where Yerry Mina lost the ball and he was chasing to recover it. And, you know, when you just think, oh, that's 1-0 right there. But I think we just got out of it.
There was one moment where he was chasing down Sturridge
trying
to close down the angle.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. So we had a few heart attack moments there. But, you know, we did. It was a complete kind of revelation from last season. I think we went in there with a completely different mentality. And as I said earlier, I do think we should have been 2-0 up at half-time.
Yeah. I'd have been fine with that, Max. yeah. I don't know. Right now, I'm not sure why. I think it's just because I feel so good about the rest of our season. I just feel really good about this season now. I don't know. That derby just felt different. Well, yes. Horrible luck at the end. It just felt like, you know, it didn't feel like going into hell this time.
There's so many narratives that have come out of this game, which kind of add to that fear. And I think you've got the Klopp thing, you've got the Pickford thing. Yeah, for me and Terry, being from where we're from, you know, we've got all that. You know, you've got the typical mouthful of all them lot. I don't know. It pisses you off, doesn't it? Because it's straight away there in the limelight again.
Well, I'll just say it. Any Liverpool supporter who knows shit about football knows they didn't dominate it. So if they're talking shit to you, it's literally just that. It's literally just piss boiling.
No, no.
That's it.
I know.
You know what I mean? So at this point now, we can't sit there and feel like we were dominated or anything the way last season.
Yeah.
You know? We didn't park the bus. We came out at them.
No level of performance will ever soften a defeat of that nature. There have been times where we've been beaten and I've taken from it like, oh, well, the performance was X, Y, and Z. No, not that. I mean, we played really well and gave a better performance than I've seen give there for years, which doesn't help at all because of the way it was. But I'll tell you one thing, change in sort of the way I feel after a derby, if nothing else, because the FA Cup draw is tonight as we record, and I actually really hope we get Liverpool away because I want a really quick opportunity to correct that travesty that happened.
See, You're thinking the same way I am. I want to play them immediately. I want to play them, like, so fast. Like, I want to play them now. Like, that's what's crazy. I didn't think you'd feel like that, Terry.
No, I wouldn't usually. I'd be like, let's never get them again. And just get that way. Like, just give them the points and then never play again because it's too hard. But after that, the way we played and the way it finished, I would have wanted to play them again today. That's the kind of thing where if you're on FIFA, you go, let's play that again. Let's put it back.
Yes.
And that's the, I mean, if it happens, I might live to regret it, but I would love to get them away in the FA Cup draw tonight for the second year running, because I want to play them again, because that feels so unjust. When we played them any other time in the past several years, I've been like, can we not play again ever? I've actually come away thinking, I'm glad we go months now without playing them, because I hate playing them. This time, I'm like, no, I want to play them right away.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point to me, because you've kind of got my brainwaves going a little bit. After that game, I looked to see when the Goodison derby was. So I suppose, and I was really pissed off about the Anfield thing. That's something that really gets on my nerve. The fact that we haven't won there in 19, now it'll be 20 years, that is something that really pisses me off. And it, of course, what can you do about that? Not until next season, unless we get them in the cup. But if we play like that at Goodison, where hopefully they won't have that stint of luck, maybe it'll go our way. I don't want to be making bold predictions for the future just yet, but you know, I agree with that point.
Yeah, I want to go now. I want that to happen. I want to play them definitely, and that is different than last season where I was just like, okay, we got a penalty. Let us never speak of this again. Mm. You know, it's just that's all I, yeah. And so now, see, that's what I'm saying. You know, I shitty feeling, but there's still this, like, there is an optimism that we're good enough to beat them, which is different than last season. Mm. That is not the same. All right. Mm. There is an optimism that stems from that, although it comes from this, like, shitty negative place, you know?
Yeah.
It's weird because right now I know I feel like I'm trying not to be the same podcast that everybody else is getting right now. I'm trying not to be the same video that everybody else is getting, because this is how I genuinely feel. I feel like there's a way to spin this into motivation.
Yeah.
Right. And I think Marco's going to do that.
I agree. And you know? I think something that kind of changed the way I was looking at it was when I seen what Jordan Pickford said, when he said, like, you know, it was Everton luck. It's like he's been here, what, 2 years, and he just knows, he gets it. Like, you know, like, that made me think, you know, yeah, I'm so happy that you're our goalkeeper, because you get it. Like, and for all the people that are giving him shit, come on, he's a mach of me from Sunderland. I mean, I'm not comparing the rivalries, but he hates Newcastle just as much as we hate Liverpool. I think he gets it, you know what I mean? Let's not turn our back on him like they did with Karius after his blunders.
Jordan Pickford earns us a lot more points than he costs us. It was a mistake. And they're all down and out now, you know, because he criticised, in air quotes, Alisson earlier in the season. Yeah. If they think after what, a quarter of a season in the English league, that, oh, Alisson's better than Pickford, I'm sorry, no, you can't make that call just yet. That's like saying Bernard is better than someone who's been in the league 2 or 3 years. You can't make that call. It's too early.
I would like to see the stats. The stats of errors leading to goals. Mm. Alisson this season versus Pickford this season. Because I had to tell you, that's Pickford's first one this season.
Mm.
Error leading to a goal.
To be honest, I'm not even saying Alisson's a bad player. He probably isn't. I don't think he is. But they're all, because, you know, the Cult FC have one of their players criticised. They've all been they've all been desperate for Pickford to make a mistake, which obviously he is obliged against them. Because, like, no, Pickford is a top quality goalkeeper who earns us a lot more points than he costs us, and I don't think he'll be fazed. He knows, he's held his hands up and said, "Oh, I've cost us the game there, but we'll just come back stronger." And what a game for him to come back against, by the way.
Newcastle. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See.
Do you guys know there's a keeper pundit, goalkeeper pundit, or he's an analyst of some sort named David Priest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's on Twitter. He's got a ridiculous amount of followers. He refuses to call Pickford's that an error. He's refusing to call it that because he said that particular ball is so difficult to deal with for any keeper. He's refused to call it an error.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, refreshing, because it's really easy just to pile on and be like, eh. But right there, I mean, that's someone who knows a heck of a lot more about goalkeeping than I do, saying, you know what? I can't call that an error. Sorry.
Yeah.
So that's a thing.
Look at what Neville Southall said as well.
Yes.
Along the same lines.
Agreed. So anyway, I'm still really positive. It's shitty. It's a punch in the gut. Sorry, I think we're going to keep getting better, and I think they've peaked. So, yeah, if them peaking means a fluke goal like that, you know what I mean? There's their cup final. Congrats, guys. You won your cup final of the year, all right? Just saying. So, thanks again for the Liverpool supporters who have finished this video. Thank you. You're keeping us afloat. You're sweethearts. All right. So, anything else, guys? Yeah, I feel like we need an old priest and a young priest. Let's exercise, okay? Let's get this exercised, all right? Get the demons out, all right? No more. We've got a match on Wednesday, so we're gonna go talk about that, all right? So that's it for our Derby match reaction. It happened. We're not running from it. We're just gonna keep playing, all right? Yeah, there you go. Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. Jerry Terry Max, we are back with a match preview of Everton's midweek tussle with Newcastle. So just a little bit about Newcastle. I think it's highly unlikely their manager will be running onto the pitch. I would say highly unlikely that he's running anywhere anytime soon. He just looks like somebody who likes a comfortable stroll. But he is somebody who hasn't... What would you say?
No comments.
He's somebody who hasn't had been too informed or kind about Everton in the past. And it happens. Besides the fact that Rafa's their manager, there's the fact that we've talked about it on our last segment. This is Newcastle. This is Pickford's boyhood rival, you know. So he doesn't like them. So that's a thing. He'll have plenty of motivation on this one. They're currently 15th in the table, so they're tearing it up. Right now they got 12 points, 3-3-8. They recently lost to West Ham 3-0. I think Chicharito got two goals. I really just wanted to say Chicharito, folks. Just like saying Chicharito. Before that, they beat Burnley 2-1, and then they beat Bournemouth 2-1.
Yeah, they had a good run, didn't they? I think they won.
They had a little good run before kind of, you know, falling on their face against West Ham. I think Richie is banned for this one, so he's not really going to play. So, guys, I got a list of possible starters. I'll get there in a minute. I think last time we started with Max just because he was willing. So let's go to Terry and put him more on the spot on this one because it's Newcastle and it has nothing to do with the Derby. Terry, how are you feeling about this midweek game?
Really glad we've got a game so quickly after the Derby. That was one of the things, even before the match, I thought, well, either way, you get to either get out your system or build on it, no matter what the results, straight away. And if I could have a Derby 2 days after, sorry, have a game after a Derby 2 days after a Derby every time, I think I would. think it's an ideal game to go into after such a disappointing result and after such an unjust result in the previous game, because you get to have a home match against a, I don't want to say lesser team, but they are, aren't they? And a chance to really bounce back and just put it out of everyone's mind and go, yeah, that hurt for a few days, but we're back at it now. It won't affect our season. Pickford especially, like you mentioned, it's a team and a set of supporters that he's got no love for, so I'd love to see him bounce back with a clean sheet against them. These will be very different than Liverpool, obviously. They're a Rafa Benitez team. They'll be more like Cardiff, where in maybe a little bit better than Cardiff, but same sort of setup. They're going to probably defend deep, get men behind the ball, low block, and just try and steal something on set pieces. And Benitez has always been a negative manager, just at varying levels of players at the different clubs he's been at. It's his style. Any defender who plays for him tends to look better than they probably are, just because of the way he sets the team up. So, yeah, players have got a massive chance to bounce back, put it out of everyone's mind, and put some points on the board, and hopefully go some way to securing sixth spot for it, going into Christmas, because the crucial part of the season now, Man United didn't look too good against Southampton either.
Max, where do you want to go with this one?
It's got to be 3 points, hasn't it, really? I think that's just got to be the boiling point that comes before anything else. There's to the perfect chance to bounce back, as Terry said. I'm debating on whether or not to go with the game. I don't know whether it's because I'm a bit disheartened after the derby or what, but I don't know. I'm cautious that we might fall on our face, if you know what I mean. I don't want this to become a loss to Liverpool to trigger this sort of implosion. Maybe that's just me being Mr. Worst Case Scenario, but I don't like playing Rafa Benitez, and I don't particularly like playing Newcastle. I remember the starfish phrase derived from for Tim Howard. Do you remember? I think it was Demba Ba who ended up scoring like a last minute winner because Tim Howard ended up doing a starfish right in front of him, but. I don't know, we're better than this Newcastle team. We're playing good football at the minute. If we play the type of football that we did against Liverpool, against not just Newcastle, but any club outside of the top six, excluding Man United, obviously, I think we probably score more goals than... got to take chances. A point I want to touch on, I know it's looking like Silva's starting to prefer Calvert-Lewin to Tosin. I wouldn't mind seeing Tosin get a good few minutes under his belt for this game, because if he's going to grab a few goals, it might be against this Newcastle side.
We'll have to talk more about that in our following segment, our starting 11 segment, where we'll also talk about subs we could bring in, impact players for us. Good point, though. Really good point. I think that's a worthy discussion, is our front three. I think we need to talk about that some. Possible starters, Dubravka, quality keeper, I think it's very possible that they run three in the back, which is really five at the back. I think they could start off pretty defensive against us with Shar, Fernandez, and Lascelles, Yedlin and Jacob Murphy, because no Richie. I think he might start with Murphy on the side. I feel like he's more of an attacking player rather than a defensive player, but again, that puts some speed on both wings. Mo Diame and Ki Sung-yung in the center, and then the three I think most dangerous players we have to watch out for, which are Kennedy, Jose Perez, and Rondon, Salomon Rondon, who actually has been scoring some goals lately.
They've got a team of like Premier League misfits, haven't they?
Yeah.
Such a strange team. Like Mo Diame, I remember him from West Ham years back. I remember the other centre midfielder when he got a really important goal for Sunderland against Man City a few years back. The key played for Swansea as well. We've got to be blowing this team off the park.
I think those three attacking players, I think they can score goals. I think Kennedy is the one I'm most worried about. I feel like he's a pretty unpredictable player. I don't know. I agree, though. I look at this side, and I'm not, I don't know, the way we've been playing. If this was another manager, I would be concerned about our mentality after a Derby loss like that. I just feel confident in the way Silva is bringing us along. I think we'll bounce back. I think what's going to be the tough thing is cracking if they're going to be bunkering back, which I could see them doing. Actually cracking in. I think you're right, Terry, to say this. It was you, Terry, who said this could look a lot like the Cardiff game. Mm-hmm. I can completely believe that, except they're a little more electric up front in terms of their – I think they got more quality players up front. Mm. So, prediction time. Who wants to start?
I'm going to go with – I'll go with 2-0.
Sounds like a wise choice. Max, what do you got?
Blow them out the water, 4-0. Come on.
I said 2-0. And you, I'm sure everyone could have predicted that after my earlier comments. We're all picking a win. I think we're gonna dominate possession. I think it's really just gonna look like the Cardiff match. We'll be talking more about who we'd play on Wednesday in terms of who Marco might sub in. Since it is a midweek game, might we see someone like Tosin get more minutes? Might we see a different starting setup because of injuries to somebody like Walcott? Might we see Lookman finally get a start? Or maybe it has nothing to do with injuries. Maybe it has to do with quality and the fact that Lookman just looks almost impossible to defend when he gets the ball. All right, we'll be talking about that more here in the next segment. So, anything else on this, guys?
Nope.
All right. Welcome to Top View Review, your source for all things Everton. Jerry, Max, Terry. Yeah, trio, rocking it. Starting 11 segment for Match versus Newcastle. What will Marco Silva do? Starting with Max. Max, I think this is a weird one. I really do. I don't know what's going to happen. I wrote down, I don't want to be a flippy flopper on this one. I really don't. So I'm going to try to be definite. So yeah. Max, what do you got?
Well, I think we'll go a bit more into like discussion in a bit. I'll just read out what I put down. Jordan Pickford in goal, Seamus Coleman, Yerry Mina, Michael Keane, Luca Dean, Andre Gomez, Garner Gay, Sigurdsson, Bernard, Richarlison, Luchman.
Okay. So if you've been paying attention, Lookman is the new name. All right. Terry, are you giving us the same lineup that you gave us for this weekend?
Yep, exact same as Max just there. Same team, one change, Lookman for Walcott, and we'll discuss now why that is.
I am going to predict. I'm so borderline, guys, on unchanged team or Lookman in. I think the only reason Silva would not start Walcott is if he's hurt. If he is injured, I think Lookman does get the nod. But I think if Walcott is good enough to play, I think he'll start him. I don't know. Just because It's just kind of his MO right now. Silva seems like if Everton plays well, he keeps the same lineup.
I had this discussion, obviously, while I was watching the derby. I was getting wound up with Walcott, and the fella next to me was as well. And he turned round and he was like, why have we even got him? What does he offer us? Well, like, what does he even do? And well, that's a bit harsh, because when we brought him in, like, he was brought in for the purpose that he has pace. No one else had pace at that time. Like, but it's not like we need pace. We've accumulated that from the signings that we've brought, and I think that the team that we've developed now is a lot, like, it's physically a lot more capable than what we were under Sam Allardyce. So Walcott isn't almost Walcott's not a luxury anymore, so to speak. Luckman's there, and he could arguably cause as much damage and be better than Walcott.
In a different way.
Yeah.
That's the problem. It all depends on how Silva wants to play it. Does Silva want somebody to run behind and to kind of go around the outside? Because Lookman's not that guy. Lookman's not like a straight 50-yard dash kind of guy, Walcott is.
He's ball to feet, isn't he? Lookman wants the ball to feet, and he wants to, he wants to dance around people. But he seems like he's not as selfish as he has been in the past. Lookman, he's always totally head up, right, and he's looking for that pass. And I think, right, with Richarlison there, that would do Richarlison the world of good if he had someone that could, put it on a plate for him, so to speak, in that sense. One point that I did want to raise, like, do you think everyone's going to be fully fit for this game?
I got two players I'm worried about. I'm worried about Walcott. I'm worried about Ghana. Ghana doesn't fake injuries to shithouse. You know what I mean? Like, yesterday during the derby, he went down. That's an issue. Who starts if Ghana is not in?
James McCarthy.
Has he been on the bench anytime recently?
No, but he's the most...
I would rather start him, though.
A like thing for Ghana. I mean, Schneiderlin, you could say, but I think the way this team plays and the way they want someone with energy and like defensive and good tackling, I think James McCarthy would be the one to step in. I've thought for a while that he'll be the sort of secret back pocket option for December, McCarthy, because nobody's even paying him any mind. And he could, much like last season, he'll come in once he's back from injury and we'll remember that he actually is a good defensive midfielder. And I think if Garner's not fit, it'll probably be Davis, because it might be a little bit too early for McCarthy, but I think we'll start seeing McCarthy in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
But Max, you ask a great question.
Yeah.
Because I think if Walcott's not in, I think it's a no-brainer. Lookman comes in. Here's another thing to consider, though. One of the main reasons that people say Walcott plays over Lookman is because Walcott's defensive work. Now, I've criticized him in the past because I don't think I've seen him walk or jogging back when he needed to be sprinting back on defense. But that's what everybody says, is that he does put in more work on the defensive end, helping out, than Lookman does. However, if Newcastle sits back with three in the back and wing backs with his essentially five in the back, do we really need to worry as much about so this might be the game to start Lookman if we want to, you know what I mean?
I think a big part of why Lookman, I mean, I'll just preface this with saying, I think Walcott's a really good player. He's a great player. He's perfect for us at the minute. He'd gone really stale at Arsenal, and although he came in and he had a big impact, because as Max said, he was the only player with pace, I actually don't think he's had as big of a dip as people think. But the problem is there's another player who plays his position who's playing really well at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's just the two things put together. Lookman's playing really well whenever he's coming on, and Walcott's not playing at the level we've seen him play before. And I think the only reason that Walcott hasn't stepped out for Lookman is because Silva did want to change a winning team. And I think now that, even though it was incredibly harsh and the performance was good, it might now be the step to go, well, now that we've lost, I think I can make that change and no one could argue with it. And on top of that as well, he had a bit of a knock, so, and it was only a couple of days ago. If we'd have been playing our next game next weekend, maybe Walcott stays in, but I think this is the perfect sort of opportunity for Silva to bring in Luckman and say, right, well, you've earned your opportunity to play ahead of you've been hurt and we've just lost the last game. In you go, impress me. But I don't think Luckman will get as long in the team as Walcott is. I mean, well, I'll rephrase that. He won't get as many chances as Walcott has got, because I think if Luckman comes in, he doesn't hit the level that he's been hitting. If he has a bad game, he'll come straight back out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to Luckman to go in there and stay in there and show why he should be starting over an experienced player like Walcott.
So in order to not be flippy flopper, I'm just going to flat out say I'm going to pull a Terry, and I'm going to say I'm going with Walcott, but I'm going to do what Terry's did this weekend and say I actually think it's going to be Luckman this time. Like, my gut is my yeah. So I'm going to stick with Walcott because that's the first name I wrote down. But I think there is ample reasoning to believe that Silva will go with Luckman this Wednesday. I think that was a really good time to go with him. It is a great time to go with him for the reasons that all three of us have stated. Yeah. This is a tough one. Bring up more conversation. Bernard has stretches where he looks really devastating and fantastic. And then there are other stretches where he gets near the 18 and he either just gives the ball to the opposition or his pass is just, you know, blocked. That happened a few times during this past game. But I think he's still meriting a starting spot. You guys agree?
Yeah. He did himself no harm with his performance in the derby. He had been having some lackluster performances, but he played quite well in the derby. And he's also got the benefit of forming a really strong partnership with Dean. So it's a lot harder to drop him because it affects another player. Mm-hmm. So much, whereas Walcott and Coleman haven't got that sort of partnership going, not to the same degree anyway. They both sort of play in their own way and just sort of linking up down the side, whereas Dean and Bernard are like a package at the minute. So I think it's harder to drop Bernard, or he has to play a lot worse than it is to drop Walcott.
Yeah, my initial kind of thing with Bernard was, obviously, you know, for like the example with the Southampton game, you know, he come off the bench and he made a really good impact. Started that game against Leicester, made a really good impact. And then for the game that he started, his influence started to like wane a little bit. But, you know, just to reiterate what Terry said, that derby performance, it was really good. He was, you know, he was like a live wire and he was creating chances. Now you take that step back and you look at the back four that Liverpool had. You know, obviously Robertson and Alexander-Arnold, the fullback, are really on form at the minute. Van Dijk, who I probably think the best centre-half in the league, and Gomez, who is excellent as well. Compare that to what's going to be, say, you know, a bank of five, maybe not as athletic or as gifted defenders. It'd be perfect for Bernard, and maybe could be looking at getting his first goal.
So, are we going to see DCL or Tosin in this one, our way of getting Richarlison out wide, possibly, because that's the thing. If we end up tossing Richarlison out wide, he'll be up against DeAndre Yedlin, and although he's the starting right back for the U.S. national team, he still makes mistakes just like everybody. He's a small, short, quick guy. All right, and that does match up all right against Bernard. However, I feel like, you know, somebody like Richarlison might be a little bit different. That might give you a different type of a matchup against him. You do that, you throw DCL or Tosin up top. You think we could see that in the last 20 minutes maybe?
Yeah, we're more likely to see it from the bench. I don't see Tosin or Carl.
I don't either.
Starting. But to be honest, Max said something off camera about I think it was Max, it may have been you, Jerry, I don't know, you own up, whichever one said it, but that you feel like Calvert-Lewin might be the first choice.
Max said that earlier.
Was that Max? I don't necessarily agree. I think that's more a case away from home because Calvert-Lewin's quicker than Tosin and he's probably a little bit better in the air. So defensively, he's like a defensive substitution, if you like, because he holds the ball up there and he can pressure the back four. But I think Tosin is still the... when you need a goal as the first choice striker to bring on, just because he's a lot better on the ball. So I think Tosin will probably be the sub who comes on first if we're chasing the game.
Certainly hope so.
Yeah, I want to see him get more minutes. I really do. I guess it depends on whether Silva feels like a tactical change is necessary. You know, is it a situation where we throw Tosin up top to where we've got somebody who maybe can hold up play a little bit better? Because he is our best hold-up striker.
No, I don't see Root and Branch change. We played well. If it'd be different if we went there and just collapsed, or the previous game we played terribly and it didn't work and it was disjointed. Mm-hmm. We played a really good game and were undone by a freak goal. It's this, mm-hmm. You can't... I just don't see how you can change the formation or the massive changes to the personnel after that performance. Not many of the players deserve to be dropped, if any, really.
I think you might see something like that happen if it's still 0-0 going into 75th minute.
Yeah,
cool. I think that's what he'll tend to do. Is I love the fact that Silva will change up things like that.
Mm.
You know, I got really frustrated in the Martinez years with us not changing enough, you know, not changing tactics in the middle of the game. It was very Silva has no problem with that. You know what? Let's switch to 4-4-2. Let's see what happens. Mm. He does it. You know? Yeah. I miss Tosin, though. I do.
Yeah, I like Tosin.
Yeah. The fan favors, isn't he? I think that's something that's been proved from his absence from the team, that, you know, there's a real fondness for him among the fan.
Mm-hmm. His attitude helps so much.
Just like I think James McCarthy will be a bit of a back pocket player for the manager over December. I think Tosin will. I think where, you know, around the Boxing Day games and stuff like that, when you every 2 days, I think that's when you'll start to see Tosin start, because you can't just play the same team every week. I think that's when you'll start to see Tosin's back in the team from the start, because Richarlison only played 2 days ago. Mm. Or you might see Tom Davis as well at that time. I mean, definitely Kurt Zouma. You'll start to see more of these faces. Not a complete, we've got a second 11 type thing, but right. Tosin is one of the first three or four players to come in, I think, when refreshes are needed.
And he scores in the snow.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Ah. Good time.
No, not good time. Still bloody awful.
Yeah.
Hey, watching a goal go through at that moment felt wonderful.
Yeah, still. Just
because season as a whole. It's like being in a dark room and somebody shines a little pin light. You're like, oh my God! I saw something! What was that? So, yeah. All right, guys. So I guess that's it for our starting 11 segment. We'll see what happens if for some reason Ghana and Walcott are banged up. We'll see. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I started doing that because of wrestling.
Yes, Road Dog.
Yes, that's a thing. It's time for If You Know Your History. It's the Everton Paste quiz segment that pits Terry against Max in an Everton cage match of Toffee's wits and might. All right, so guys, you know how this works. If you've never heard, listen to our show, where have you been? But this is a quiz segment. This is one of those where they must name all of the players that played in a certain Everton match from the past. So we'll go back and forth, and the first one to get it wrong, if it's in the specific round, that person loses, essentially. Okay, so we'll start off, if we toss up and Terry wins and he goes first, Terry, Max, and they all get it right, and then Terry misses, that means Max has to get it right in order to win. If he doesn't, then he's out. All right? So that's how this works. We'll see what happens. The prize is they get to pick a tune to close out the program, and we talk about it, which is how it's legal. So, gentlemen, I'm going to flip this memory card. This is heads, and this is tails. That's right, because I don't believe in change. So, who will call it?
Tails.
Max has called tails. I couldn't have predicted that. I have flipped it, and it is tails.
Boom. Stanley Clark. Never saying that again. I'll go first, please.
Oh, okay, Max chooses to go first because it's not a number conundrum.
Yeah.
And these gents worked the system last time. So Max is going to go first. Gentlemen, let's go ahead and cue the intense music because while I ask the question. Okay? So cue intense quiz music. It's a slow builder. There it is. It ramps up, and there it is. So, guys, could you please name all of the Everton players that played during Everton's 3-0 rout of Newcastle on Sunday, the 15th of May, 2015?
Romelu Lukaku.
Romelu Lukaku is correct. Max has just started off. He's not giving any of this posturing like he did on... You know, with the math one where he's like, I don't want to do math right now. You know, he's just in on it. Terry, what have you?
I'm going to go Leighton Baines.
Leighton Baines, yes. He started that game.
Tim Howard.
Tim Howard, yes. That's a thing that happened. He started. Terry?
Seamus Coleman.
Seamus Coleman, yes, that is correct. You guys are doing well. Max?
Phil Jagielka.
Phil Jagielka, yes. He played. He started. That's a thing. Terry, you're up.
James McCarthy.
James McCarthy did. He did start. All right, guys. Starting to get a little tense.
Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley did not start, but he did play. He came in the 74th minute as a sub. Yes. I didn't mean to do that goofy host thing where I fake you out, but it happened, and I'm sorry. So, Terry, your turn, buddy.
I remember this game. Leon Osman.
That's right. Leon Osman did start. Max, Aaron Lennon, he did start. And for you people listening, Max had a crazy look of shocked amazement just a second ago. So I'm curious.
When he just went, I remember it. I'm just thinking, I remember it. It was at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember it. I was there. Love Bob.
All right. So, Terry's turn, I believe?
Yeah. Antolin Alcaraz.
Antolin Alcaraz did start that game. Max.
Christian Atsu.
Christian Atsu. Came in for Aaron Lennon in the 85th minute.
And ended up playing for Newcastle the season later.
He did. That is true. That's a player I had high hopes for. And was a little disappointed. So, Terry, what do you got?
Aruna Kone.
Aruna Kone did start. One of those interesting scenarios where Kone and Lukaku started together.
And we scored 3 goals. Imagine playing 2 strikers and scoring goals.
Yeah, weird.
Too bad in the 15. Mo Besic.
Mo Besic came in the 86th minute for James McCarthy. There is one more player left on this list, Terry. And then we go to the tiebreaker.
Darren Gibson.
Guys, I got to tell you, I we keep doing these quizzes, and I keep being more and more impressed.
Was that the game you guys... he had the skinhead, where he just come out and he was bald?
I don't remember.
Like a skinhead, and we're like, Jesus Christ.
Because I know I watched this, because I haven't missed a game in years, so,
Darren, I liked it. Darren Gibson, he was sound.
I did. I mean, he's gone really bad now, but he was really, yeah. He was one of the better passers of the ball of the team at that time. And
he was.
We didn't, once we got Gareth Barry, we didn't use him a lot, but he was a good player.
So, guys, we have to go to a tiebreaker. I suppose there are other tiebreakers I could go with, which are goals or subs that didn't play. But I think jumping straight to the tiebreaker, we'll talk about those other things later. This is the cleanest way to end this. Luke Garbutt was on the bench. He was one of the subs that did not play, along with John Stones, Stephen Naismith, and Yoel. All right. So, guys, how many Everton first team appearances has Luke Garbutt made? That is our tiebreaker question, gentlemen. And Max, I believe because you chose to go first.
Oh, I've got to answer this first. Now. Bastard.
hey, consistency.
30. No, what the fuck am I saying? No, I can't take that back, can I?
I feel like Terry, do you think it's fair if he takes it back?
Yeah, he's.
I think it's okay.
20.
Max has said 20 first team appearances for Luke Garbutt.
Because he was out of a few years, weren't he?
I just don't think it was that many. I'm going to say... And is it the closest wins?
Yes.
I'm going to do the old prices right and go with 19.
Oh, Terry, with your shithousing tactics. it worked. Luke Garbutt has made 12 Everton first team appearances, 5 of them in the Europa League.
Yeah, because if there was a point where he was he was our first team left back when Baines went out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember Galloway was there, and I think Galloway ended up just rising above him in the pecking order. But
away at Wolfsburg, he looked the real deal. Mm. He looked amazing, and everyone thought, "There we go, there's our successor to Baines." And then I'd love to know what's happened to him, because he just sort of fell off the face of the earth. And successive managers haven't used him, and we had real need for him last year. But even Allardyce didn't want to use him, and. You sort of get the vibe that it might just be an attitude problem rather than an ability problem.
I was literally, it was the next words out of my mouth. I think it's an attitude thing. I really do. Which is a shame. But again, we are making assumptions about a player we don't, know personally or anything. But that's the way the situation comes across to me.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway. So prepare ye. Listeners, for the king of dad rock, Terry, what rockin' dad tune will we be closing the show with tonight?
Yeah, I actually did think about it this time, because Max is having a bit of a slump. Despite his early season domination of these quizzes, he's having a bit of a blip in the middle.
I know.
I will say it's less Max having a blip and you're getting questions right. So, just saying. You're allowed to do things right, Terry.
Everton, that. I'm going to go with Welcome to the Jungle by Guns N' Roses. I've thought about a few different genre songs, but no, if that's my thing, I'm fine with that. We'll go with the dad rock. I'm not even a dad, but I like dad rock. I like that era of rock, the sort of 80s heavy music era.
Yeah, that came on the other day in the car. I was driving around our three-year-old, and it came on. And hearing my three-year-old, whose little voice is literally like, you know, hey, how's it going? You know, it's this high-pitched little, to hear him singing Welcome to the Jungle.
I weren't even looking at
you're in the jungle, baby. You know, it's
that's excellent.
That's the way my the way my kid speaks. It's it's a little bit Ewok. you know that Caddyshack gopher. That's kind of the way my kid speaks. So it's anyway. So welcome to the jungle. That was kind of that's definitely my era. That's definitely something I know. Terry, when you think welcome to the jungle, what kind of scene springs to your mind?
You know what? I love that album just in general, and that's a great song. I could have picked any song on that album, Appetite for Destruction, but just for me, when I hear that song, it's burnt into my mind now. It was the song to advertise Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, and when the TV commercials came on when I was younger before that, and I loved Vice City, the one before it, so when that one came was coming out, we were like, this is going to be amazing, because it just used to come on with helicopters flying over the San Andreas like sort of logo, like the whole time with Welcome to the Jungle, and then it just give you a montage of all stuff you could do in the game, and I was just like, I need that game in my so even though I knew the song before that and liked the song before that, that is what the song reminds me of. It's a great song, and that was a good game.
It was on in the clubs as well, you know, when you see CJ and you're going to like the nightclubs and that, they play it like, and it's just one of the best games of all time.
Song though, it doesn't even matter what type of music you like. You can like, anyone can have any taste in music. They like that song. It's quite, yeah, it's
Guns N' Roses. Everyone.
Like people who like rock and metal like it, people who like it, who hate rock and metal still like that song. It's such a good like genre crossing song for all different fans.
It's one of the most overused, and for good reason, songs to like introduce sports teams in America. You know, when the players are coming out of the tunnel, when it hits that, you know, when the players come out, yeah, that's what happens. They use that everywhere. That and Thunderstruck by AC/DC are two of the most used like dad rockish tracks at like basketball games, football games, American football games. It's just, you hear them everywhere, and it's just, and everybody's just, I think they do it actually at Wake Forest basketball. They do that when the players are coming out, I'm pretty certain. So yeah, it's one of those that stuck around. It's stuck around. It's still a part of pop culture despite being so old.
Yeah.
So, anyway, GNR, Welcome to the Jungle. I'm just glad my three-year-old didn't sing that line about being a very sexy girl, because then I may have had some trouble. All right. So, as you're getting pumped up to end our show, because that's kind of what this track does. It is time to end our show. It's the end of our really big show. If you've been listening via podcast, thanks so much. I mean, I suppose you have to be listening via podcast, but please subscribe to the Toffee Blues podcast. Rate it if you can. Leave us a nice review. You know, just because our confidence needs it. We just appreciate it. We're people too. Damn it. Check out Terry on the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. He'll put it on his Twitter when he's showing up there. Max is everywhere as well. Check his Twitter. I think he's showing up on Sky tonight, so please keep an eye on that. He'll hopefully have a link up to where you can see his. If you want to see our faces, Watch our Toffee Blues YouTube channel. Watch the Toffee Blues YouTube channel. See, you know, subscribe to us there too. Double dose of the Toffee Blues. Maybe it's good for you. I don't know. Vitamin C and shit. So, additionally, check out the Toffee Blues website. Lots of analysis there. Everton analysis. All things in Everton. That website's about to get a nice little upgrade, and it's going to be purdy for your eyes. So, yeah, there's that. And, yeah, follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I think I'm finished plugging. I think it's time for me to go pick my kid up and take him to training. So, yeah, and these guys have a life, so I hear. You know, Max has like 4 dates tonight.
I wish.
All right, guys, thanks so much. Terry, it's great to talk to you. I know you're unable to record Thursday, so Terry may be taking a pass later on this weekend or later on this week. But Terry, it's great to talk to you. Hopefully next week then. Okay, buddy?
Good to talk to you too, guys. I mean, no more guarantee of a big win on Wednesday night now than me not being able to talk about it the day after. But I'll see you guys very soon.
Max, thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it, man. I'll be talking to you later on. Gentlemen, again, great times as always. Always good fun. And yeah, 3 points on Wednesday. All right?
Yep.
So I'm going to say bye now. So bye.